Good morning. Welcome to Trinity Lutheran Church.
Thank God for giving us this country.
God bless America.
Good morning. Welcome to worship here at Trinity Lutheran Church in Boyleton, Illinois. Welcome to those of you watching this day at home. I'm Pastor Nate Wallenberg. What a blessing it is to be gathered together as God's people today. And the number of the day is 7. It is July 7th, so it is 7-7, and it's also the 7th Sunday after Pentecost today. And in addition to that, we are giving thanks to the Lord for this great nation and the freedoms that we get to enjoy. I hope all of you have had a blessed 4th of July weekend. And in addition to the wonderful freedom that we enjoy in America, even greater than that, even more exciting than that, one for us. And we are excited because we have a baptism planned this morning for Baylor Lee Kellerman. And she's up here with her parents and family. And that freedom of sin is going to be granted to her in holy baptism this morning. What a blessing that is. Because we have a baptism and communion in one service today, our order service is a printed order service for you. It is slightly abbreviated, but it is largely based on Divine Service Setting 4. For the baptismal liturgy, if you'd like to place your bookmark at page 268, that way when we get there early in the service, you'll be able to follow along. But for now, I'll invite the congregation to stand as we begin with our invocation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our help is in the name of the Lord. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon Him in prayer and grace, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar. Let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as His people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking His grace for the sake of Christ, and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Almighty God, in His mercy, has given His Son to die for you, and for His sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by His authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Congregation may be seated, and at this time I would like to invite little Baylor Lou and her parents and godparents to come and join me right up here in front. Dearly beloved, Christ our Lord says in the last chapter of Matthew, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. In the last chapter of Mark, our Lord promises whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. And the Apostle Peter has written, baptism now saves you. The Word of God also teaches that we are all conceived and born sinful and are under the power of the devil until Christ claims us as His. We would be lost forever unless delivered from sin, death, and everlasting condemnation. But the Father of all mercy and grace has sent His Son, Jesus Christ, who atoned for the sin of the whole world, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. How is this child named? Taylor and Lou Kellerman received the sign of the Holy Cross, both upon your forehead and upon your heart, marking as one redeemed by Christ the crucified. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, according to your strict judgment, you condemned the unbelieving world through the flood. Yet, according to your great mercy, you preserved believing Noah and his family, souls and all. You drowned hard-hearted Pharaoh and all his hosts in the Red Sea, yet led your people Israel through the water on dry ground, foreshadowing this washing of your holy baptism. Through the baptism in the Jordan of your beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, you sanctified and instituted all waters to be a blessed flood and a lavish washing way of sin. We pray that you would behold Baylor according to your boundless mercy and bless her with true faith by the Holy Spirit, that through this saving flood, all sin in her, which has been inherited from Adam, and which she herself has committed since, would be drowned and die. Grant that she be kept safe and secure in the holy ark of the Christian Church, being separated from the multitude of unbelievers, and serving your name at all times with a fervent spirit in a joyful hope, so that with all believers in your promise, she would be declared worthy of eternal life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. From ancient times, the Church has observed the custom of appointing sponsors for baptismal candidates and catechumens. In the Evangelical Lutheran Church, sponsors are to confess the faith expressed in the Apostles' Creed and taught in small catechism. They are to pray for them, support them in their ongoing instruction and nurture in the Christian faith, and encourage them toward the faithful reception of the Lord's Supper. They are at all times to be examples to them of the holy life of faith in Christ and love for the name. So Baylor's going to have three godparents, Fran, Kathy, and Michelle. Having heard these important responsibilities, I now ask you, is it your intention to serve Baylor and support her in the Christian faith? If so, say yes to the help of God. God enables you to will and to do his faithful and loving work, and with his grace to fulfill what we are unable to do. Hear the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark. They brought young children to Jesus that he might touch them, but the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter." And he took them up in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray together this prayer that our Lord Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Coming into your going out from this time forth and even forth. Let's proceed up here to the font. We have some questions for Beta, and because she's not able to speak for herself yet, three of Jesus the Godmother to respond to the following question. Baylor, do you renounce the devil? If so, say, yes, I renounce him. Do you renounce all his works? If so, say, yes, I renounce them. Do you renounce all his ways? If so, say, yes, I renounce them. Do you believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth? If so, say, yes, I believe. Do you believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried? He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. If so, say, yes, I believe. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of faith, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting? So say, yes, I believe. And Baylor, do you desire to be baptized today? If so, say, yes, I do. Taylor, Lou, Calvin, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given you the new birth of water and of the Spirit, and has forgiven you all your sins, strengthening you with His grace unto life everlasting. That you have received Christ, who is the light of the world. Live always in the light of Christ, and be ever watchful for His coming, that you may meet Him with joy, and enter with Him into the marriage feast of the Lamb in His kingdom, which shall have no end. I encourage you to keep that candle in a safe place and light it every year on July 7th to remind you of this baptism day. One of the most basic understandings of Christian baptism in the history of the church is that when someone is baptized, they receive a new name. God takes His triune name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and places it upon us in baptism, welcomes us into His family. But it's also been a tradition in the history of the church to recognize the significance of the person's given name on the day that you're baptized. The name Baylor is an English name that goes back to Old English roots. And it started out as a last name, but of course, a lot of people these days have it as a first name. And it really just means someone who delivers things, like a delivery person, someone who brings packages or something like that. That's what a bailer was. And I actually was thinking about that related to baptism, and I like the idea of deliverance, right? That bailer has been delivered a person in baptism. But also think about baptism as this way that God takes all of His amazing gifts, and the Holy Spirit delivers them to us through the water and the Word. So what a blessing that is that we have that gift delivered to us today. I'm going to invite our elder Ben to speak the welcome on behalf of the congregation. Welcome you in the name of the Lord. And let's welcome Baylor with a round of applause. Let us pray. Almighty and most merciful God and Father, we thank and praise you that you graciously preserve and enlarge your family and have granted Baylor the new birth and holy baptism and made her a member of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and the heir of your heavenly kingdom. We humbly implore you that as she has now become your child, you would keep her in her baptismal grace, and according to your good pleasure, she may faithfully grow and lead a godly life to the praise and honor of your holy name. And finally, may all your saints obtain the promised inheritance in heaven. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And peace be with you. Amen. You may return to your seats. We'll continue now with our baptism hymn. It's hymn number 591. This is the Spirit's entry now. We're going to sing that to the tune of Over a Thousand Tongues to Sing. Thank you. With you. Let us pray together the prayer of the day. We pray. Oh God, your almighty power is made known chiefly in showing mercy. Grant us the fullness of your grace that we may be called to repentance and made partakers of your heavenly treasures. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated for the reading of God's word. The Old Testament reading appointed for the seventh Sunday after Pentecost comes to us from the book of the prophet Ezekiel, chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. He said to me, "Son of man, stand on your feet, and I will speak with you." And as he spoke to me, the Spirit entered into me and set me on my feet, and I heard him speaking to me. And he said to me, "Son of man, I send you to the people of Israel, to nations of rebels who have rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me to this very day. The descendants also are impudent and stubborn. I send you to them, and you shall say to them, 'Thus says the Lord God.' Whether they hear or refuse to hear, for they are a rebellious house, they will know that a prophet has been among them." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our epistle reading today is from St. Paul's second letter to the church in Corinth, chapter 12, beginning with verse 1. Paul writes, "I must go on boasting. Though there is nothing to be gained by it, I will go on to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man was caught up into paradise. Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And he heard things that cannot be told, which man may not utter. On behalf of this man, I will boast, but on my own behalf, I will not boast except in my weaknesses. Though if I should wish to boast, I would not be a fool, for I would be speaking the truth, but I refrain from it, so that no one may think more of me than he sees in me or hears in me. So, to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me, but he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong.' This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God." Hallelujah in verse. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus went away from there and came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. And on the Sabbath he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astonished, saying, "Where did this man get these things? What is the wisdom given to him? How are such mighty works done by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, son of Mary, and brother of James, and Joseph, and Judas, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. And Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor, except in his hometown, and among his relatives, and in his own household. And he could do no mighty work there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people, healed them, and he marveled because of their unbelief. And he went about among the villages teaching. And he called the 12 and began to send them out two by two, and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He charged them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not put on two tunics. And he said to them, "Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you depart from home. And if any place will not receive you, and they will not listen to you, when you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them." So they went out and proclaimed that people should repent. And they cast out many demons, and anointed with oil many who were sick, and healed them. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord. Our sermon hymn and what will be the hymn of the month for the month of July is not located in your hymnal. It's a more contemporary song that is called "You Are My All in All." Some of you might recognize this tune, and it's all printed there for you in the bulletins. It'll sing "You Are My All in All." I'm going to go to the hospital. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for this morning's sermon is the gospel reading from Mark chapter 6. And here we have two significant things that are going on in this passage. First, Jesus comes to his hometown of Nazareth. He's speaking in the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he is rejected by those who watched him grow up, those who know him very well. Then after that, Jesus sends his apostles out into the various towns and villages in Galilee, sends them out two by two, and they are given the authority to cast out demons and heal the sick. Our sermon today is going to focus on the first half of this passage. We're going to consider what it means for us to understand who Jesus really is, the real Jesus, as opposed to some other version of Jesus that we might create only in our own minds. Only the real Jesus can save us. Only the real Jesus sets us free and gives us hope. This is our text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, let's start out by playing a little game today. I've got here in front of me a list of famous people who are all known to us today by a different name than the name they were given when they were born, the name that they grew up with. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to say what these folks' original names were, and I want to see if any of you know what their current name or their stage name or celebrity name is. And if you know it, I want you to shout it out. I know this is one of those interactive sermon illustrations that gets Lutherans all nervous, right? But if you know it, I want you to say loud enough so I can hear you. Okay? We're going to see how well you do. So, here's the first one. Who was Robert Zimmerman? Robert Zimmerman. Oh, Dylan! That's right! Yeah. Good job. Alright, next one. Thomas Mapother IV. Anyone have any clue? That is Tom Cruise. Tom Cruise. All right, next one. Reginald Dwight. Elton John. That's right. You're going to get all the music ones, aren't you? Alright, here's one. Marion Robert Morrison. There you go, John Wayne. We need to get a few ladies on this list though, so here's another one. Alright, Karen, but it's spelled C-A-R-Y-N. Okay, Karen Elaine Johnson. Whoopi Goldberg, that's right. Man, you're doing good. I got one more on here. It's a little bit more current. Okay. Stephanie Joanne Angelina Germanata. Lady Gaga, that's right. All right, you guys did pretty good. And there's probably plenty of others that we could have put on a list like this as well, but that's probably enough random celebrity trivia for one sermon, don't you think? Interesting, though, when you consider the fact that there are all these people out there that we hear about, we read about, we watch them on TV, we watch their movies, we listen to their music, but in a lot of cases, we might not know a lot about who they really are. And in some cases, we don't even know what their actual names are. And to me, what that illustrates is oftentimes a person has a different public persona from what they are, who they are, in their private life, or who they were growing up. I think that that's true probably to some degree for everybody, right? We all act a little bit differently in public than we do at home or with the people that we're extremely comfortable with. But it's especially true for people that are famous, people that are celebrities, people that are in the public eye all the time. They create a certain image for the rest of us to see. And they work hard on maintaining that image. And it's later on when the lights are off and the cameras are no longer in their faces, when they're home, with their family, when they're with their close friends, that's the only time I assume that the mask is able to come off, that the image, the public persona gets to go away, and they get to actually be like themselves again. But think about it from the perspective of the person who is one of those family members or who is one of those close friends. Can you imagine how strange it would be? Maybe some of you are in this category where somebody that you know very well, somebody that you grew up with, grew up to become famous, to become very well known. A couple months ago, I was getting my oil changed at the Valvoline garage, which is just south of Carlisle. And so they were working on the car, and I just went into that little tiny waiting room that we have here. And there was this elderly gentleman who was sitting in one of the two chairs that are sitting there. And he was kind of staring out the window, and he kind of looked like he wasn't in a great mood, but, you know, you just kind of make small talk, especially in a small space like that. So I was just like, hey there, how's it going? You know, he looks at me, and he kind of said, not so great. Oh, I'm sorry, you know, and I didn't want to cry or anything like that, but he went and supplied the information anyway. He said, you know, one of my good buddies just passed away. I said, oh, I'm so sorry to hear that. I'm sorry for your loss. And he said, and you might know him. You might know who it is. He was the partner's manager for a while. And I was like, it took me a minute for my brain to register what this man had just said to me, and I was like, suddenly it clicked, are you talking about Whitey Herzog? And sure enough, it turned out this guy ended up having this whole conversation with me about how he grew up in New Athens, and he was friends with Whitey Herzog, they ran around together, he was in Whitey's wedding. I mean, I guess I believe him, you know? I don't have any reason not to. But coming off of that conversation, it got me thinking about how that man's experience of Whitey Herzog passing away is a lot different from the experience of the average Cardinals fan, who probably would say they love Whitey and they respect him as a manager and all of those things, but they didn't know the real Whitey, right? They didn't know him personally. In other words, there is a difference between there's Cardinals Whitey and there's New Athens Whitey. It's the same guy. The experience is different, right? It's essentially two different personas. And I think a similar thing could be said about the way that Jesus is depicted in this gospel text that we have today in Mark chapter 6. Not that Jesus is one who is ever pretending to be somebody that he's not. It's not that Jesus is the one who creates a separate public persona for himself, and then he treats people so much differently in private. That's not what I mean to say. It's actually the other way around. It's that people treat Jesus differently if they believe that they are closer with him. And that's illustrated here in the way that these people who live in Nazareth treat Jesus. They end up actually creating a different kind of Jesus in their own minds. They have a different perspective of who Jesus really is. Instead of paying attention to the actual Jesus who is right in front of them, the Jesus that they can see and hear with their own eyes and ears, they create this different Jesus. So let's get into this a little bit. So when this chapter opens up, we have Jesus and his disciples coming to his hometown. Now, yes, Jesus was born in Bethlehem. He was raised by Mary and Joseph in Nazareth. So the people who lived in Nazareth are the ones who are considered part of his hometown. They watched him grow up. Now, coming off of this great, exciting ministry that he's already been engaged in all around the Sea of Galilee, we've heard some amazing things that Jesus has already done, some amazing miracles. he's already performed. Remember a couple Sundays ago in chapter 4, we talked about how Jesus had miraculously calmed the storm on the Sea of Galilee. Last week, we got to hear in chapter 5 about how Jesus had healed this woman who had been sick for 12 years, and he also raised Jairus' daughter from the dead. And this is in addition to countless other miracles, healings, casting out demons, all kinds of things that he was doing all around the Sea of Galilee. And so you would think that when you get here to chapter 6, when he comes back to Nazareth, back to his hometown, you would think that he would be greeted like a hometown hero. Right? I mean, you would assume that they would probably throw a parade for Jesus or something like that. But instead, when he gets to Nazareth, he ends up having to face a whole bunch of people who are confused at best. And actually, frustrated with him at worst, and even angry with him. He's in the synagogue, says he's teaching on the Sabbath day, right? So the people from, you could consider this, his home congregation have come together to worship, and Jesus is the guest preacher that day. The boy who grew up and became this famous preacher and teacher, he's the one. You would think that they would look at that and they would be so proud of him. But instead, they're asking all of these rapid-fire questions in verse 2. And I'm going to say all of those questions that are being asked can be summarized in a one somewhat confusing question that I have posed as the title for the sermon today. Who is Josh Carpenter? Huh? Yeah. Josh Carpenter. You know, the guy who grew up with us. You know, the guy who's the brother of Judas and James, the guy that's Mary's son, you know, the carpenter, Josh Carpenter. Who is that guy? What does he think he is? Why is he showing up here acting like he is better than the rest of us? See, they're looking at someone they assumed was just Josh Carpenter. And I'll get to that in a second. Who has now become Jesus. And in their minds, this is two different people. Like the public persona versus the private persona thing. It's Cardinals Whitey versus New Atheist Whitey. They assume that this guy is just a simple man who grew up, studied carpentry from Joseph, right? Studied that skilled craftsmanship. So he's known as a carpenter. His name in Aramaic is Yeshua. So in English, that's why I'm saying Josh. It's kind of tongue in cheek, but you kind of get the point. They assume that this is just a normal guy, Josh Carpenter. Josh is a carpenter, right? But there's nothing special about him. He's just an average guy with an average name from an average place, just like the rest of you. And, you know, Josh Carpenter could be anybody. I typed that name in the Facebook. There's at least 43 people named Josh Carpenter. I don't think any of them are famous. So, they are hearing him, they're seeing who he is and who he has become, but they're not opening their eyes to see who he actually is. And they're not listening to what he actually says. They're not believing the truth of his word. So what they're doing is they have created a false persona of Jesus in their mind. Actually, someone who doesn't even exist. This plain old Josh Carpenter. They get angry because of this false persona in their head. It doesn't say it here in our text, but this account is also found in Luke's gospel. Jesus going back to Nazareth and being rejected. In Luke's gospel, it tells us they get so mad with him that they try to kill him. So that intensifies it even more. But what Mark tells us here is in verse 5 that he was not able to do mighty works there because of their unbelief. Now that is one of those verses that makes our ears perk up a little. Isn't this Jesus we're talking about? Isn't this the Son of God in the flesh? Isn't he literally able to do anything that he wants to do? What does Mark mean that he can't do mighty works? Think about it this way. If those folks in Nazareth were really that many, performing miracles among all these old believers and throwing it into their faces, essentially, probably would have caused a giant riot to hold, a dangerous mob, and probably would have resulted in injury and death for innocent bystanders all around. So that's why Jesus doesn't perform miracles here. He limits himself. He just heals a few sick people, as Mark tells us. And that's it. So this is how the people from Nazareth responded to somebody that they knew very well, someone that they had watched grow up. I think a lot of us here would say that we feel also that we've grown up with Jesus. We don't have the same experience as the people from Nazareth, of course, but I think we would say we've grown up with Jesus, especially those of us who have been part of the church for a long, long time. So if we are people who have grown up with Jesus and we feel like we're familiar with Jesus, how do we avoid the same kinds of pitfalls that the folks from Nazareth fell into on that day? Well, the answer is actually so simple, but it's so important. We believe and trust in the real Jesus. The one who gives us his word, and we take him as his word. We don't create a caricature of Jesus that doesn't actually exist, that only exists in our mind. Think about it. The world is full of people who don't believe in Jesus, they believe in Josh Carpenter. A Josh Carpenter that they've created in their mind. A false Christ who could potentially lead us astray. Some people want Jesus to be just a great cheerleader. Someone who's going to look at us and smile no matter what we do, just approve of all of our decisions, especially the bad ones. That's not the real Jesus. Some people want Jesus to prove that he loves us by taking away every bad thing that happens in our lives, taking away all of the discomforts that we feel in this broken world. That's not the real Jesus either. Some people want Jesus to reward us, right? If we're faithful, if we do good works, that we should receive health and wealth and prosperity. But that's not the real Jesus. Those versions of Jesus and countless others are not the real thing. The real Jesus is actually way better. The real Jesus is the one who loves you enough not to approve all of your sinful and evil decisions, but instead, what he does is he pays for them personally by going through what he did upon the cross and giving up his own life. The real Jesus might not automatically remove every discomfort from your life, but no matter what it is that you're going through, the real Jesus has experienced even more on our behalf. He knows what you're going through because he also suffered. The real Jesus doesn't sit here and hold back all of his blessings from you until you earn them, but instead, he comes to you and gives them to you as a completely free gift. The real Jesus comes to the weak and the sick and the lonely. He gives them his word that he will be with us always, even until the end of the age. The real Jesus comes to a little baby like Baylor. Gifts for eternal life is a gift of water and the word. The real Jesus takes simple bread and wine, gives us himself through the shedding of his blood, the giving of his body for forgiveness and life and salvation. It's not fake. It's not just a mask. It's not just a public persona. It's not just a performance. Jesus isn't just any old celebrity or public figure. With Christ, what you see is what you get, and what you get is so much greater than any old Josh Carpenter out there. So, because of that, because we belong to the real Jesus, we can live our lives in such a way that our faith is on display both in public and in private, that our hearts and minds can align through faith with our hands and our tongues. If you just have one persona, a new creation in Christ, the real Christ, both now and forever. In the holy and precious name of the real Jesus. Amen. Now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding guard and keep your hearts and minds true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. For our prayer list today. Today, under the category of hospitalized, we are going to add Eunice Frank. Over this past weekend, Eunice has been hospitalized as she deals with pancreatitis. She's actually all the way over at Evansville, Indiana, right now, but she is starting to feel a lot better, thanks be to God. Also, we heard that our dear brother in Christ, Travis Nolan, passed away yesterday morning after a courageous battle with cancer. So please keep his wife Courtney and their children in your prayers. There will be a funeral service for Travis this coming Wednesday, and his obituary is posted online. I'm not sure exactly which church. I know there's a visitation on Tuesday evening for him as well. We give thanks to God today for the birth of Ellen Iris June Green. That's the newborn daughter of Jade Schnitzer Green and her husband Nate. Thanks be to God for that. And also, we will add our brother, Butch Spencer, in our prayers today. I'm not sure exactly what's going on, but we'll certainly keep him in our prayers. Please stay as we go to God. Pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. We bless you, Lord, for you have heard the voice of our pleas for mercy and sent your Son, Jesus Christ, our strength and shield. Save your people and bless your heritage forever. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Send laborers into your harvest, Lord. Preserve your ministers among us devoted to your word and to prayer. Give many servants to your church, that neither the preaching nor the care of your people may fall into neglect or disregard. Bless our partners in mission and ministry, especially our sister congregation, St. Luke's Lutheran in Covington, and their pastor, Tim Miller. Lord, in your mercy, gracious Lord, you have revealed your righteousness in the sight of the nations. Christ Jesus, your holy arm. By his death and resurrection, you have worked salvation. We give you thanks for all of the other blessings you have granted to us in this life. Thank you for the rain which you have sent to water the earth this week. And continue to grant us favorable weather and safety for those who are out working in the fields or elsewhere. Thank you, Lord, for those who are celebrating birthdays this week, including Wallace, Jenea, Addison, John, Ryan, Willa, Cameron, Samuel, Nolan, Gail, and Lucas. We praise your name also, Lord, for the birth of Ellen Iris June Green, newborn daughter of Nate and Jay Green. Watch over their growing family. And once again, we thank you for the holy baptism of Baylor Luke Ellerman and ask that you would bless her as she grows in her faith. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, on this Independence Day weekend, we give you thanks and praise for all of the freedoms that we enjoy in this country. Protect and defend the United States from its enemies. Support our leaders and preserve them from temptation. Through the work of all civil authorities, enable us to live a quiet and peaceable life according to your word. Give an extra measure of your grace to those who serve in the military, including Michael, Daniel, Brett, Jesse, Chase, Alex, Isaac, Patty, Austin, Ward, Joyce, Tanya, Shaylin, and Mark. according to your mercy. Father, in our weakness, we are strong for the sake of Christ, whose grace is sufficient for every need. Give comfort to those whose pain is chronic, whose suffering is unknown, who wrestle with difficult thorns in body or mind, or who are tempted to despair. We intercede also on behalf of those who have requested our prayers, including those who are in care facilities, Greta, Jula, Ron, Bill, Jean, Charles, and Betty. We lift before you Eunice, who has been hospitalized, and also Butch, who is currently experiencing a medical issue. We also lift before you those with ongoing health needs and concerns, especially Thomas, Jim, Dorothy, Marvin, Amy, Tyson, Francie, Brent, Linda, Roland, Laverne, and all those who are facing cancer. In weakness, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities, let us boast in Christ and his cross, by which we and our sufferings are sanctified. Comfort all who mourn, especially the family and friends of Travis and Olaf, in the midst of things we cannot understand. With the peace that surpasses all human understanding, Lord, in your mercy. Bountiful God, out of your abundant blessing, you satisfy us with Christ, the bread of life. Give repentance and faith to all who commune this day, that finding refuge in your Son's true body and blood, we may taste and see that you are good. Lord, in your mercy. All these things and whatever else you know that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of him who died and rose again, and now lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. I'll invite the ushers to come forward as we worship the Lord with our tithes and offerings. taking out the service of the sacrament. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we long magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, O Lord, our God, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. In your righteous judgment, you condemned the sin of Adam and Eve, who ate the forbidden fruit, and you justly barred them and all their children from the tree of life. Yet, in your great mercy, you promised salvation by a second Adam, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and made his cross a life-giving tree for all who trust in him. We give you thanks for the redemption you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Grant us your Holy Spirit, that we may faithfully eat and drink of the fruits of his cross, and receive the blessings of forgiveness, life, and salvation that come to us in his body and blood. Hear us as we pray in his name, and as he has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Together the words of the new nativity. Heavenly Father, you have given us a foretaste of the feast to come in the holy supper of your Son's body and blood. Keep us firm in the true faith throughout our days of pilgrimage, that on the day of his coming, we may together with all of your saints celebrate the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and grant to you his peace. Amen. Our closing hymn is stand up for Jesus. So please remain standing. Thank you. may be seated. Once again, it's a blessing to be here among you today. Thank you for those of you who helped participate in service today. Ushers and elders, thank you, Kathy, for playing the organ. And thank you, Ellie Caston, for accompanying us on that first hymn of the distribution. That's awesome. Also, thank you to those of you who stepped in to help vote as he was having his issues, and please keep him in your prayers. We'll give you an update next Sunday as to how he's doing. We have a number of other announcements for you today. Tonight is youth night, so we're going to invite the Club 58 and YPS students to come and join us at 6 o'clock this evening. We hope you can make it. There are two special registration days for our school this upcoming week. The first one is tomorrow, the 8th, and the second one is on Thursday, the 11th. Families that have not yet registered children, this would be a great time to do so. This is also the week of our meetings, our regularly scheduled meetings for the month of July. And so tomorrow, there will be a stewardship board meeting at 6, and there will be an elders meeting at 7:30. The school board meeting has been pushed off one more week, so there will be a meeting on July 15th. And speaking of the future meetings, July is also when we will have our next quarterly voters meeting. And there are 5 Mondays in July this year. We decided to put the quarterly meeting on the 4th Monday. So please mark your calendar for Monday, July 22nd. That will be the quarterly meeting. And in advance, we'll have an agenda meeting on Tuesday the 16th. So please be aware of those changes. Next week is the Hoyleton Hofbrau Fest, and we are looking forward to that. I know there are several members of our congregation that will be working on Sunday morning and unavailable to worship with us here at 9:30. And so for those of you who fall into that category, I will be leading a worship service under the pavilion in the park at 8 o'clock. It will be an abbreviated service of the word, but please join us. We would love to have you there. And then Bible class will take place after that, but we'll probably start a little bit later next Sunday. I think it will probably start by 8:45. 8 o'clock in the park, 8:45 Bible study here, and then, of course, our regular service at 9:30. Please remember that today is the second of our Solar Sundays, and we are pleased to report that we received over half of the needed amount in pledges after last week's first Sunday of the Solar Sunday. You have an insert in your bulletin. If you have not yet made your pledge, you can do so here. You can also email our treasurers, and the email address is there for you. Please consider supporting the Solar Project. And speaking of projects, there has been another project that is almost completed up in the balcony. The trustees have been working hard on the balcony renovation project, and it is now covered in carpet, and it's beautiful. There's still some work to be done on providing for storage space in the center, but the main construction has been completed. So if you are interested and able to climb all those stairs, you're invited to go and look at that and see the work that has been done. It's really impressive. So, yes, absolutely, yes. Any other announcements today? All right. If not, enjoy the rest of this Independence Day weekend. Go in peace and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you for joining us. We hope to see you again next week.